cuore.
Okay, let's just put ourselves back into the swing of things from last week. So we were discussing the sugya of Lochem, but not how it relates to Dalad Minim. That was the primary sugya, but we almost got a little bit sidetracked Lochem in other areas of Halacha, and particularly the guy with the mitzvah achilas matzah. So we might entertain the possibility there's a din of Lochem by matzah, and the source of the din of Lochem by matzah was derived from Chawa. Just as you're only obligated in a fresh Chawa if you fulfill what the pasuk says. Pasuk says, Arisa Seichem, Arisa Shalachem, the dough has to belong to you. So too, you can only be yay to the mitzvah matzah if the matzah belongs to you. And this was the source for the famous Shittas HaRosh of the last week, where the Rosh tells us that if a person steals matzah, he's not yay to the mitzvah. Not because the mitzvah will be a veirut. If there's other reasons, but you're not yay to the mitzvah, the same way you're not yay to dalaminim if it's not lochem, so too you're not yay to matzah if it's not lochem either. That was a famous opinion of the Rosh. So we pointed out last week that there was a big problem with the Rosh, because if the whole source of lochem by matzah derived from challah, it would appear from the Gemara of Kama that there is an obligation of a fresh challah even on stolen goods. The Gemara says it almost befavors him of a Kama to study valid. That was the question that the Sheikh Isaiah posed against the Rosh last week. If the halacha is that challah itself, if you have a stolen dough, you have to be mafresh challah, how in the world could you not be yaitz and mitzvah matzah? The whole din of lachem and matzah is derived from challah. How could it be any different than challah? So we suggested last week the answer of the Nesivas. The Nesivas suggested that challah is different because challah, even though mitzad hagazlan, the isa is not lochem, but mitzad the nigzol, the isa, is lochem, that the nigzol owns the isa. And since the nigzol, the person, the victim of the theft, he still owns the isa, he still owns the dough, so there's a chiva fresh challah mi'av, his owning of the dough. And once the chiva fresh challah, then the chal, the dough is clever. So when it comes to achilas matzah, said the Baal HaNesivis, you have to pass it on the gavra achilas matzah. I want to know, Rabbi, can I be yaitzi with this matzah? So the question is, well, is it yours or not? If it's not lochem, then it can't be yaitzi. The same way it can't be yaitzi, but that will mean if it's not lochem. When it comes to achilas chal, gavra, the din is on the chefza. The din is on the dough. And if the dough belongs to the original owner, who's still the owner, so then there would be a din of Hafrash Eschal. That was the thrust of the answer that the Baal HaSivas gave last week. So we want to spend some time analyzing this answer, because this Mahalach, this beer of the Nesivas, is really something that touches so fundamentally on the very essence of how do you define lachem. And you had to think of a term that we've been spending probably more time the entire year, so year and a half almost already, that's the term lachem, ownership. This principle of ownership is fundamentally a chayshev mishpatika principle, but it impacts so greatly on the world of Archaim, impacts on minim, and it's impacting on afreshes chal, it's impacting on achilas matzah. There's so many nachkaminas medina that revolve around how do you properly define lachem. So the Nesivas told us that if somebody steals something from me, that item is still called lachem. It still belongs to me. I still have title. I still have the ownership of that item. And all the din of lachem will still apply, notwithstanding the fact that it's an item that was nigzal mimeni. Why would anyone say otherwise? Why would anyone think otherwise? So at the very end of the shiur last week, we introduced the sugya in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara tells us that when you have an item that's stolen from you, Reuben owns something and Shimon steals it, so Reuven has a certain limitation to that item now. That item enters into the category what's called Shaloi Ve'ena B'Shusai. Once the item is stolen from me, it is Yotzem Yeshusi, Halachali Yotzem Yeshusi. And the Gemara says, the Gemara says, I can't be Makdish that item anymore. So I want to know, that inability to be Makdish an item because it's Ena B'Shusi, is that a deficiency in Lochem? Is the reason why I can't be makdish ultimately because it's not quite mine to 100%? Is that the pshat? Adoption of Yeshuso is felt in lochem. It's a chisson. It's a deficiency in lochem. Well, I say no. That in terms of ownership, I bought it. I paid for it. It belongs to me. Somebody stole it. Still mine. If a shuli happens, that's a different ballgame. Maybe yush happens, that's a different ballgame. Kol zman that no kinyani, real kinyan gzeila has taken place. So even though the item is Eina B'shusi, that's a bazunder, then that's a separate gzeresa. That's a locha vis-a-vis transferring ownership. I can't know the koyach, I don't have the authority to transfer ownership with something that's Eina B'shusi. But in terms of, in its heart and soul, does the item belong to me? Of course it belongs to me. Why not? So that nekuda, as to whether Eina B'shusa is a chisaron of lochem or not, that is good for the chiddush of the Baal HaNesivos. But the Nesivos is arguing that there is a din of every seichem. There's a din you have to own. No, if you don't, there's no chiddush. Statement by the Nesivos, and we really have to try to analyze that. Is that correct? So this is a little bit of a throwback, and it's good. It's good chazar for us. We keep on going back to some of the yesodis of things we spoke about in the past. Those who were in Kolaboker, we're going to talk about some of these things as they relate to the dim of lachem in terms of chametz as well. So this is really a shas kind of a topic. But how do you define lachem? Specifically, this question whether Eina B'shusa is a pagam ultimately undermines the status of lachem or not. So there is a famous comment of the Ktzos, where the Ktzos takes issue with this Nesivos. Ktzos doesn't quote this Nesivos, but the way the Ktzos sizes up a certain sugya, he takes issue with this Nesivos. The Ktzos happens to have a very unique understanding of what Hefker is all about. We spoke a little bit about this Ktzos in the past. Again, I'm sure we're going to come back to this, but it's fundamentally a sadistic Ktzos. The Ktzos follows in the footsteps of what he claims is Shittas Rashi, what he claims is Shittas Rambam, that when you mafkir something, when you declare something to be ownerless, it doesn't mean that it belongs to a new entity called Hefker. There is no real change of ownership that takes place when you mafkir something. When you mafkir something, you are still the Bailam on it. What is Hefker all about? The Ketzel says, based on Lashon Rambam, what Hefker means is that once you gave your word that you're going to treat this as Hefker, you're not allowed to back out from your word anymore. There's an isser of bayachal devarim. It's almost like a religious problem. It's an ethical, it's a moral problem of breaking your word. Once you gave your word, it's hefker, it has to remain hefker now. Truth to be told, if you go ahead and pick it up and are rezeicha on it, you're no worse than anybody else. But if you don't want to be rezeicha on it, you want to just simply mevatel diburcha. Joking. Let my words be annulled. That's the Torah says, Le'achal Devarim. So the Ketzos develops this idea that Hefker is not really a change of dinim mamonis. It's really Shelcha. The problem is the Ketzos runs into a brick wall because there is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that tells us that if I own a talis and I'm mafkir that talis, then I'm not mechuyav to put tzitzis on that talis. Why? Because Ksuscha, Veloi, Ksus She'ena Shaloi. In order to be chayav in tzitzis, you have to own the talis. So comes the Gemara and says, if you are mafka the talis, it's not your talis anymore. It's not your talis, and there's no chiv et tzitzis. So Frektik Tzai said himself, if I'm correct in what I'm saying, that hefker is not a change in dinim mamonis, that the item is still considered to be shel habayim. So how could the Gemara say that you're part from tzitzis? How could the Gemara claim it's not ksuscha anymore? If I give the ksus to somebody else and I borrow it from him, that I understand it's not my ksus. But if I own the ksus, I simply declare it to be hefker. And the ksus is right, that hefker is not a hakanon dini mamonis, that hefker, it's still yours, 100% of dini mamonis. So why is that not called ksuscha? So the ksus goes one step further. The ksus says the reason for that phenomenon is as follows. Says the ksus that when you're mafker something, it's shalom, all right, but it's Eina B'shusa. It's called Eina B'shusa. Why is it Eina B'shusa? The Ketzos apparently understood that just as when somebody steals an item from me, that becomes Eina B'shusa. And presumably the reason for that is because I don't have full control anymore. I'm not calling the shots anymore. The item is in the Goslin's house, not in my house. So the Ketzos understood that's called Eina B'shusa, which is a very loaded definition of Eina B'shusa. We're going to give it to the Ketzos for that for a moment. Says the Ketzos, just as Gezela, a davar ha-gozel mimeni is shalai v'yena b'shusa, so too, a davar shal hefker shalai v'yena b'shusa, because I'm not in control. You know who, quote unquote, stole it from me? Parshas Le'achal Devarim. The fact that the Torah Kedoshah says Le'achal Devarim, the Torah is holding me back. The Torah is not permitting me to use my item. I want to be mevatel diburi. I want to use the item again. The Torah says they can't do that. Liachal devari. Says the Ketzais. What's the difference? Whether it's the Gaal that holds me back, or whether it's the Torah holding me back. At the end of the day, it's shaliv yena bishus. So says the Ketzais.
A quick question, just to cross over to what we learned a little bit about in Kol HaBoker with respect to Rashi's opinion as to why you need to do bedika. Why are we not concerned about lo yachel devaro? Meaning, if bitul ba'alma is sagi, then why are we not concerned about lo yachel devaro?
You mean those Rishonim who say that Rashi is concerned shem yavatal the bitulo?
Correct.
Go back
yeah.
from your bitul. Very good, excellent. Yeah. So the truth is that lo yachel devaro is not absolutely. Liachal devaro doesn't mean every time I change my word, that's all of a sudden called liachal devaro. I mean, if I say, a lot of people, you know, it's like a very firm thing to say, I'm going to have a hot dog for supper, bli nedr. That's a joke. You don't have to say bli nedr now. There's no nedr involved in that. When the only time you have to say bli nedr is, let's say, if a person saying they can do it by mitzvah. Guy says, I'm going to go to a shia tonight. So then it's a good idea to say bli nedr because otherwise that's binding as a nidre mitzvah. Nidre mitzvah don't even require losha nedr. Just the fact that you say you're going to do a mitzvah is a mechayev to you. So it's really a gevald gechidish at the Rambam that being mafka something is even called a nether altogether. Where's the lashon hafas? Where's the lashon nether? The fact that I'm giving it over that the Rambam could take it. Hafas, why is that called a nether altogether? That's already a loaded question. So I have to wait till Kobo gets to the darn for that. I can't tell you when we get to that point. So just because the person says, Kol chamir v'chamir let libatel gefri levik ha'afr the ara, that in of itself may not be a lashon of nether. So Hefker is a unique lashon of nether, which is taka, a big pella. How the Rambam knew that Hefker is even in the parsha of the Dharam, but that's more of a Rambam issue in terms of the Dharam rather than in terms of this. But it's a very, very good ha'ara. So again, back to our story. So the Ketzais says, Mamash in a corner. The Ketzais says, on the one hand, I'm convinced that Hefker is not a change in Dinim Amenis. It's still considered to be Shalai. On the other hand, the Gemara says the favorite shit. You can't be a tzitzis. You're not have tzitzis on it. So the answer is it says it must be that a davar shel hefker meets that middle ground called shelo ve'eino b'shuso. So comes the tzitzis and says, Oba zoi, when something is shelo ve'eino b'shuso, you see that that's not called lochem because the din of ksus is like a din of lochem. The beggar has to belong to you in order to be chayv in tzitzis. So vos bein belonging to you. So you see from this tzitzis that belonging to you doesn't just mean that it's shaloi, it has to be b'shuso as well, because if it's in a b'shuso, that's felt, that's a chisaron in the din of lachem. So that ktsos is not in sync with this nesivus. Ktsos is a lot of disagreement with the nesivus all the time. But what the nesivus is saying, like Abi Arisa Seichem, that Seichem, because it's shali, even though it's not b'shusi, that ktsos is clearly disagreeing with, because he's learning that a chisaron of any b'shuso creates a chisaron of lachem as well. Now, truth to be told, we're not going to go down the route right now. We spoke about it a little bit in the past. There's actually a steer ketzais about this. There's a different ketzais where the ketzais takes a different route, which puts it much closer to the Nesivus's model. But I'll call part of this is a loaded question. Whether something that's lacking in reshuso, does that automatically mean it's a chisaron of lachem? So let's analyze this question on our own. Let's see, can we really rise from Gemara's that would shed some light on this? Because after all, the entire rush back in our sugya, we got, I mean, we're many steps away from our sugya right now. Let's just put things back into the proper perspective. Why are we even talking about this topic? Because our Gemara in Sukkah seems to say there's a bit of lachem by matzah. And the rush takes it to conclusion and says, therefore stolen matzah is no good. Shagasai asked the question, but stolen dough is chayev. So Nesiva says, the stolen dough is chayev b'tam the nigzo, not b'tam the gazlan. So we're saying, really? B'tam the nigzo? Zaman from there, you see from here that stolen goods, klapid and igzal, still called lachem. So that's a loaded question. So if I say, what we really have to do is analyze the din of shalov yena b'shuso and see, is the nesivus's beer correct? Shalov yena b'shuso is still called lachem for all the mitzvahs of Torah? Or once it's yena b'shuso, that's already considered to be no longer lachem. So let's take a look at the original Gemara about shalov yena b'shuso, and maybe we can get some inclination from the way Chazal formulate this halacha as to whether we should go down the beer of the nesivus or the beer of the ketzos. So let's take a look back at Bava Kama, those who have Gemara Bava Kama with them, back in Samech Tesim and Aleph. It's four lines from the top. Gufa Amar B'yechanan, Gezavon Esyayishu Abaylim, Shneim Enichom Lahaktish, Obviously, the Gazlan can't be makter. That's a no-brainer. Doesn't own it. But the more important part for us is v'zelafish ena b'shusay. The nigzel cannot be makdish it because it's eno b'shusay. How did Chazal know that? Where did this come from? So the Gemara back at Samaches connected to the pasuk in Chumash, ish ki yakdish is beisa kodesh, ma beisa b'shusay afko b'shusay. That the model, the Torah gives to be makdish something is your house. Your house is b'shuscha. Nobody stole your house. Your house is b'shuscha. So ma beisa b'shusay afko b'shusay. That's what the Gemara says in Samaches. Let's skip ahead now to Daf Ayinam and Aleph. Skip a Daf and Baba Kama. The top line, Amin Ardoi, top of Ayinam and Aleph, Amin Ardoi. Lo kasvira urchasa metaltale. Urchasa is a shtar hashah. Shtar hashah is like a power of attorney. Namely, I have a dinter against somebody. The problem is, I'm not particularly interested in going traveling 100 miles to go participate in this din Torah. So I ask you to please do me a favor. Next time you go to the other town, go and represent me in court. You go and collect the money on my behalf. The problem is, as soon as you walk into Beis Din, the other party has a right to say, La bal dvarim didiyat. I'm not going to court against you. Like, you can't sue me. You can't take me to court. You're not even a party to this case. La bal dvarim didiyat. So how do you get around that problem? So the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama of Ayin that the Halacha recognizes the ability for me to delegate somebody to actually represent me in court. That's what's called a Harsha. So the problem is that how exactly does Harsha work? How does Harsha solve the problem? So the Pashas HaDvarim is as follows, that when I appoint you as a Morsha on my behalf, I'm in effect transferring ownership on the property that's in question. Namely, I have a din Torah against Ploni. I'm claiming that Ploni stole my animal. So what I'm doing is, I'm saying to you, Shimon, you're on the way to that town. You're going to go there next week. Do me a favor. I'm going to sell you the rights to that cow. You're going to be the buyer of that cow right now. We hope that you'll be a nice guy and sell it back to me when you once you get it. I'm going to sell the rights to that cow. And now, when the other Baldover says, La Baldover, yeah, you're going to whip out the star show. I say, what do you mean, La Baldover? I own the cow now. So come to Hardoi and say, if that's the rationale for Harsha, like Asvirin Urchas Abitaltali, then we have no right to write a Shtar Harsha on a case of Abitaltali. Why is that? So it is very simple. I'm Rabbi Ashila, may my time. I'm like, you shouldn't be Yechim, and Rabbi Yechim, Gezla, Siash, Rabbi, Shlod, and Sevish, and Shibishu, Sai. Come to Hardoi and explain to us. If what a shtar hashah is a transferring of ownership on the item, if that item is stolen goods, how can I possibly transfer ownership on stolen goods? How in the world can I? I'm the nigzel. I want to transfer ownership on that item that was stolen to you so you could represent me in court. How can I do that? I can't sell you something that's stolen. I can't sell you something that's inabishusi. So what did the Gemara just do? The Gemara just took the principle of Rabbi Yechida that was originally said vis-a-vis Hekdesh. That was the original Zeh Sukkosim, vis-a-vis Hekdesh. And the Gemara plugs it into Mechira and says, just as I can't be Makdish something that is Eino B'Shusi, so too I can't sell something that's Eino B'Shusi as well. That's what the Gemara just said to Farish. That was the rationale of Nardoi. Ika the Amr. No, there was a different version of what Nardoi said. Ikidam Rav Nardoi. Leika svirin urchas ametaltalei de kafre. Time of the kafre, the Mexican shikra. Of the kafre kasvinun. Comes the second lashon and says that there's nothing intrinsically wrong with writing a shtar hashah on stolen goods. The problem is if the gazlan is screaming and yelling, it's not true, you're a shakran, you're a liar. So it's a very, very bizarre document we're going to authorize. We're going to go ahead and let a person sign a document that's saying, I hereby appoint you to go collect my animal. What do you mean by animal? The animal's in question. We don't even know who owns the animal. Maybe the whole thing is a sheker v'chazov. So how could we authorize writing of shtaros that are potentially smack of sheker? So therefore, the Rambam said, there's no intrinsic problem of the nemominess of writing a shtar hashah on stolen goods. It's a technical, It's an honesty issue. It doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. The righteous are star. But the Ikaron would be okay. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, what is the Nekudas HaMachlokes is the first Lashon sandwich? The first version of Nadoi held that there's some real Ikuv in Dinim Ominis that's preventing you from writing a Shtar Shah on stolen goods, and that Ikuv is the B'yechim's Din of Davash and B'shusay. And the second Lashon, the second version of Nadoi held, there is no such Ikuv. There is no such problem. Well, the Maisi can't do it for a quirk, for honesty, immoral reasons, unethical reasons. But bottom line is it really should work. There's nothing fundamentally wrong. What is the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the first Lashon and second Lashon? So Tosfos throws the hands up, a long Tosfos in the item, and Tosfos throws the hands up and says, they don't understand the second Lashon Nadoi. L'char, the first Lashon is right. What I can't be makdish, I can't sell. How could the second Lashon Nadoi justify the Iker Adin selling something that I can't be makdish? So comes Tosfos and says, the reason why the second Lashon accepts this is not because you could sell something you can't be makdish. If you can't be makdish it, then you can't sell it. That's a given. What the second Lashon Nadoi understood was, Harshah is not really Mechira. It's a sham. It's not a real Mechira. You know what Harshah really is? Harshah really is a Shlichus. I'm appointing you as a Shliach to act on my behalf. Now, normally the din is Shulchan Kemosai, but somehow Shulchan Kemosai is being trumped by Labal Dvaram Didiya. So, for some strange, deep, dark secret, Shlichus doesn't work here. So, therefore, Chazal made up the following. This Takon of Harshah is a din midirabbanon, says Tosfos. It was made up midirabbanon as a mechanism to enable a person to not have to schlep the Beis Din to appoint someone to act as his power of attorney. It was instituted with the Rabbanon, and it was formulated ke'ein derais of shlichus. Really, Min HaTorah doesn't work. Min HaTorah, some shlichus fall short here for some reason. Labal Dvardiyah, Trump shlichus. But when Chazal instituted this innovation called Harshah, they called it not a Hakno. It's called the Min HaShlichus. Since it's a Min HaShlichus, what does it have to do with Rabbi Yechidin? Rabbi Yechidin says, I can't be Machdish, I can't be Mafkir, I can't be Nice and Maton, I can't be Machdish. I can't transfer ownership of an item that's stolen because it's Shalivya and Bishusi. But here I'm not transferring ownership to anybody because it's Shaliach Shavya. That's what's going on this week. But say Taisus, Lu Yitzuya that our show would have been Hakna, like we thought it was, like the first Lashon thought it was. So then Kuliyam Lepligi, you can't sell if you can't be Makdish. It's Inabishusi, Inabishusi is an equal, if it prevents you from selling it as well. So it comes out according to Taisus that the Nakunas of Machloikis in the two Lashanis and Hardoi was not a Machloikis within Hukhat Inabishusi. It was not a machlokes within Rabbi Yechanan. Everyone agrees to Rabbi Yechanan. Everyone agrees any yochel hachdash. Everyone agrees any yochel imkor. The only machlokes was, is our show really hakna or not? So the first Lashon felt that the takanas hachav of our show was really fundamentally b'toras hakna. And the second Lashon of Gadol says, no, the takanas hachav was b'toras shalichus. But a real bona fide, a real live hakna, kliyam lepligi, you cannot be makna, but you cannot be machdash. And the Rashba on the spot, and if I disagrees with Taisus, the Rashba says no. The Nekudas HaMachlokes between the two Lashonis of Nadoi has nothing to do with Harshah. Everyone agrees with Harshah. Harshah is a Hakna. There's no way around. It's basically fundamentally Harshah. It's a Hakna. So why does the second Lashon say that you're allowed to do it? Because the second Lashon says, just because you can't be makdish something, doesn't necessarily mean you can't be makdish. Hekdish l'chud, Hakna l'chud. You can't be makdish it, but you can still be makdish. And that was goofy the Nekudas HaMachlokes into the Lashonis. So unlike Taisus who said that the Nekudas HaMachlokes lied within what Harshah is, according to the Rashba, the Nekudas HaMachlokes lies in what, how far Rabbi Yechanan went. What were the parameters of Rabbi Yechanan? The first Lashon Nadoi held that Rabbi Yechanan extended the inability to be makdish, the inability to transfer ownership. And the second Lashon says, no, hektish and mechira part ways. What's pshat in the second Lashon according to the Rashba? It's clear that the second Lashon understood that this exists across the Biyama. Kiyakdish is beisai kaitish. It has to be b'shusai. This doesn't spill over to other kinds of kaloisim. It can't be makdish. You want to give it a gift because of the day. You want to sell because of the day. It can't be makdish. So there seems to be a major machlokes now playing out between Taisa and the Rashba within the second Lashon, which is where we pass the Mishnah Basra. What did Rabbi Yechon say? Rabbi Yechon says, "Any yachol lahakdish." Should Rabbi Yechon mean to say you can't affect any transactions? You cannot transfer ownership of the davar she'en b'shus under all circumstances. That's how Tosfos learned. What do I say now? It was just a quirk with a chiddush within Hilchos Hakdasha, but it doesn't spill over to anything else. L'chora is a raya brewer from the Gemara against the Rashba. Because the Gemara, in Bava Kama and Dafsa Bechtes, the Gemara talks about Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yechanan, just as you can't be makdish, you can't be mafkir either. So if you can't be makdish, you can't be mafkir, that doesn't bode well for the Rashba. Doesn't sound like it's exerts a cost of hektish. It sounds like it's a general statement about lack of ability to transfer ownership. Unless one wants to say that hefker is closer in nature to hektish. Hefker and hektish are closer to one another because hefker and hektish are both accomplished through dibur alone. There is no maisa kinyan. So maybe we can extrapolate from hektish to hefker. Maybe we cannot extrapolate from hektish to mechira, but maybe hefker is closer model to hektish. So no matter how you slice it, there is a machlekes tais in the Rashba, just how far Rabbi Yochanan went. Rabbi Yochanan exclude the davar she'en b'shusa only from hektish v'chadayma, or did he exclude it from all other chaloisim as well, even including mechira? So Rabbi said, what's the nekudas machlekes v'shanim? So it seems pretty clear that this machlekes v'shanim is very much linked to what we're talking about. Namely, what is the din of ein b'shusa? Is ein b'shusa a chisaron in bailus? Is Eina B'shusa the Torah telling me that Bailus is no longer defined by merely Shaloi, but once something is Eina B'shusa, whatever that means, whether it went out of Yerushus to Bailus, to Hefka, whatever accomplished to take it out of Yerushus, is now a Hafka in your Bailus? There's a deficiency in your Bailus? That seems to be the approach that Tosfos is taking. And therefore Tosfos says, there's no great chiddush in extrapolating from Hektish to Mechira. If the reason ultimately why I can't be makdish because it's not fully mine, so then if the same ego of the same koyach that's preventing from being makdish is identical, preventing me from being makdish as well. So the Ephatai said no qualms in extending the inability to be makdish and inability to be makdish. Nadoi never questioned that. Nadoi thought Harshaw, second Marshall of Nadoi, that Harshaw is not a real mechira. It's only shlichus. But something that would be a real mechira, of course, would be subject to all the limitations of Hakdasha. And the Rashba takes on Taisa. Rashba said, no. Ainu yochel haktish. Hakdash akosuv. Hektish. Maybe hefka's like hektish. Maybe yeah, maybe not. But to say that across the board, that you have no ability to transfer ownership, hecha taisi? If ainu b'shuso is not really a deficiency in bylaws, why should the inability to be machtish spill over the inability to be machna? So that seems to be the very machlek siddik taisi. The Nesivus and Ashugya that said that a Dover HaGozul is still called Lachem. It's full-fledged Lachem. It's called a Risa Seichem. There's a Chivah versus Chala. There's a Din Devil. It's called Lachem just because it's not Peshuso. Not Peshuso means there's a cost if you can't be Makdish. But it doesn't detract from your ownership. Whereas the Ktsois who said that a Dover She'en B'Shuso is not called Ksuscha anymore. So seem to be understanding much more in Sikva Tosfos that a davar she'en b'shuso, it's not just a quirk you can't be makdish. There's a rationale why. There's a reason why. You can't be makdish it because in its heart and soul, it's not really yours. It's not yours to the full extent. Ein b'shuso is a chisaron of lachem, and therefore, if it's not lachem, it's not b'ksuscha either. So it could be that this machlokes tais in Rashba ultimately sets the stage for the machlokes between the ktsais and the nesivus. So Rabbi is saying, can we bring a raya from the Gemara? To which fundamental halach is correct? So the Gemara has a fascinating comment on the Samach Tesema Beis and Bava Kama. The Gemara brings a Mishnah to support Rabbi Yochanan's theory. Not everyone agrees to Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara brings a Mishnah to support it. So the first word line is Stamach Harina. It's about 12-15 lines from the top. The Gemara says, I'm going to bring you a Stam Mishnah to support Rabbi Yochanan. This Nan. Eina goyniv achar agana misham deshlo mekefam. If Reuven steals something from Shimon, and then Levi subsequently steals that item from Reuven, there's no kefil. A good man of God is potter from kefil. That's a Mishnah. Yes, three more. Am I? Bishlam al ganav rishon lamishalim. I understand why the second ganav doesn't pay the ganav rishon the kefil. But gunri beis ish v'lomi beis ganav. There's a kosov that the Torah says you have to pay kefil to the ish, to the bailam, not to the ganav. El bailam mishalim. Why is the ganav in a ganav potter from kefil to the original bailam? Why doesn't he have to go back and pay the original bailam? After all, it's still his. So Reuben stole from Shimon, Shimon stole from Levi. At the end of the day, the item still belongs to the original Bialim. So why doesn't the original Bialim get the kefil? El Alav says the Gemara, Shvami, no, the reason why the Bialim, the original Bialim, don't get the kefil, Zelafishenu Shaloi, Zelafishenu Bishusai. The reason is because it's not Bishusai. So the original Ganav doesn't get the kefil because it's in a Shaloi, and the original Nignav doesn't get the kefil because it's in a Bishusai. So Rabbi Yoichidud's rationale of inability to be makdish, the concept of Eder B'shusa, Rabbi Yechon was mechadish, is the underlying factor in this mission. There's a stam mission by Bakam and Ruben that says, again, when a ganav is put to the kefil, the only way to explain why you're put to the kefil is to say, because it's Eder B'shusa. I can't debate it. Rabbi Yisai, what do you see for this Gemara? Let's analyze the Gemara through the eyes of Tosis, through the eyes of the Rashi, through the eyes of the Tosis, the eyes of the Sefis. If you hold that Eina b'shuso is a deficiency of bailus, so then I understand full well what's going on. Now I understand why the Torah is mechadish to me. Kefil goes to the bailum. Vos made bailum, bailum gemurim. Someone whose bailus hasn't been touched. Someone whose bailus hasn't been diminished. Once Rabbi Yochanan tells me that there's a parasha called Eina b'shuso that you can't be makdish it. So now Tosis that the Tosis wheels are turning. Oh, but so I can't be makdish it. Why is that? I don't really own it. If I don't really own it, therefore I can't be makna it. If I don't really own it, therefore it's not called ksuscha. If I don't really own it, then I can't get kefil on it because I'm not the base ish anymore. It's not mine. I'm not the bailam on it. But if the other rishonim is right, if the Rash was right, then ein b'shuso is not a chisaron in bailus. If the nesivus and asug is right, that's still called a rishis heichab, even though it's stolen goods from me, because eina b'shuso is not a deficiency in bailus. So then in terms of pure dinim amenas, I'm the original bailim, so why don't I get kefil? How does that inability to be makdish translate to not getting kefil? If you hold, like Tosfos and the Ktzos, that inability to be makdish means inability to sell, means inability to be called b'chab, because it's not your bailus, you're not full bailus on it, then I understand why kefil follows suit. But if you hold it, it's just exists because of the Almond, you can't be makdish, but it has nothing to do with ownership. How I could sell it? So tell me a story. I could sell the item, but I'm not the pilot for kefil. That doesn't make any sense. What's the problem? Come on.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So maybe in the case of the ganav, yes. It's Beferush, it says, the whole reason why it's not, nothing to do with the mahloket of Roshutz, maybe because the Pasuk says, if it's not in his hands.
Okay, but the problem is, you would be 100% right, but the Gemara connects it. The Gemara says that this din of not paying kefil fits into Rabbi Yochanan's world. The Gemara pins this din of not paying kefil to the original Bible on base in Rabbi Yochanan's. Fair Shi Gemara. So how does the Gemara? You would be right. That connection would be correct, but Lamaisa, the Gemara doesn't say that. What's Pshat in this Gemara? So the Chora, we read too much Lamdus into this Gemara. We read into this Gemara saying that because you can't be Makdishes, it's felt in the Bailos, and that's what it's okay for. It's not what the Gemara meant. This is not a Lamdish Gemara, this is a linguistic Gemara. The Gemara is trying to touch up one word. The word is bias, because bias appears in two places. It appears vis-a-vis hektesh, and it appears vis-a-vis v'gunu mibeisa ish. In order to be able to mark this up, it has to be called dumi debeisa. In order to be recipient of kefil, it has to be gunu mibeisa ish. Rabbi Yochanan, who translated the word bias to mean shalo ubishusai, but if it's not b'shuso, this is dishkin bias. The same Rabbi Yochanan makes sense that the word bias to be recipient of kefil means shalom b'shuso. The Gemara never in a million years meant to say that the reason why you don't get the keifel because you're not the bailam on it. That's not the reason why. The reason why you don't get the keifel is because the gzeir sechasa beis ish wasn't fulfilled. Who told us that it has to be b'shuscha to be called the gzeir sechasa beis ish? Rabbi Yechanan. Where did Rabbi Yechanan say it? The iskiyakti is basic kedush l'ashem. Since Rabbi Yechanan put up on a pedestal bias as the ultimate, this is the prototype, this is the model par excellence of shaloi b'shusa. So then just as the word bias had that connotation of shaloi b'shusa, legabe hektish, it has the same connotation, legabe being recipient of the kefil. Vishnei, anything about it, you're not the bialim on it. Don't say anything in there. Don't say a word about that. You are the bialim. It's called shulchad. The Nesivus is right. You could sell it. The Rashi was right. But it's still not called bias. It's not called bias in one place in Chumash. It's the same dictionary. Whatever you think the word bias means in one place means bias in the same in the other places. It's a very, very way different way of reading Agamaras. Mamasha, Yaitzim and Advarim. But this machloikis that's raging between the Nesivus and Shai Yisaye back in our sugya, it's raging between the Tzais and the Nesivus. It's raging between the Tzais and the Ashwad of Ayin. Ultimately has its roots in just Taishin as Gemara. What did the Gemara with the Hitchamara mean when they connected the dots? They connected Rabbi Yechon and Shita by inability to Makdish, the inability to receive Kefil. Was that in Lomdash terms because that's a Chisar in Bailos? Or was that just linguistic terms for definition of Ayin? So Rabbi say, let's go back now to our primary sugya, back in Masech HaSukkah, where the Gemara was talking about the different halachas that are governed by Lochem. First and foremost was Dalaninim. The second one was Arisa Sechem. The third one, by extension, was Matzah. And remember, we pointed out last week that there was actually Machlekes of Rishonim. Why are you not Yaitse with stolen Matzah? Everyone seems to agree on that Yaitse. Why? So the Rosh was the only one who said Befeirish because it's not called Lochem. And there's a din of Arisa Sechem, learned out from Chalat Matzah, etc. The Rambam also said you're not Yaitse with Matzah Gzula. But if you remember from last week, he said it for a totally different reason. Why you're not Yaitse with Matzah Gzula? Because it's a mitzvah b'aveira. Rambam said for the same reason you're not Yaitse with Matzah Shel Tevel, because it's an aveira, so you're not Yaitse with Matzah Gzula. So again, everyone agrees to the facts of the matter. Everyone agrees the mice, you're not Yaitse. You rob, you break into a matzah bakery, you steal a box of matzah, you're not Yaitse. According to the Rambam, because it's a mitzvah b'aveira, according to the Rosh, because it's not Lochem. Is there enough communal dina between the two? Does it really make a difference in the end of the day? Why not Yaitse? You're not Yaitse, not Yaitse. What's the difference? So the Shagas Aryeh throws out the following possible nafkamina. Shagas Aryeh says, what would the din be if a person steals moror? What would you think about that? He breaks into the store, steals the bag of romaine lettuce, sits down by the seder and eats the moror. I think you're yaitzeh, not yaitzeh. So if you would ask me, I would say, oh, a nafkamina between the Ram and the Rosh one. If you hold like the Rosh, that the reason why you're not yaitzeh is a din prati in matzah. It's exerts a kos of the matzah of matzaschem the rala. What was that doing tomorrow? It's a din prati, localized in my matzah. Doesn't carry over tomorrow. But if you're into the world of mitzvah b'aveira, oh mitzvah b'aveira. Well, mar is also a mitzvah, so it should also be subject to the rules of mitzvah b'aveira. So if you ask me, I would say I got the nafkamina. It's a great phenomenon. What a shkach the hilgish shaysay, but the gavalik nafkamina. Nafkamina legabim mar. If it's exerts a cost of din prati matzah, no relevance to mar. If it's din klavitz of aveira, then it makes sense to carry over tomorrow. That's what I would have said. So the Shagas Aryeh says 180 degree opposite. Says the Shagas Aryeh, the exact opposite is true. And in order to appreciate the Shagas Aryeh, we have to take a look at the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. Those who have more Pesachim with them, take a look at the following Gemara. It's a Gemara. I just have to find it. It's a Gemara on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is referencing a Machlekes HaTanoim. Can you be Yotzei Matzah with Maisa Sheini? Not because Maisa Sheini doesn't belong to you. That wasn't even the issue. There's one Tana of Yotzei that says, you can't be Yotzei with Matzah Shemaisa Sheini because the Torah describes Matzah as being lechem oni, and the word oni almost has like a double meaning. Oni with an ayin, oni with an aleph. They're similar, not identical. Oni with an ayin means like poor man's like affliction, only been out lashon aninos, of sadness, of mourning. So the din is, according to B'yosi and Lili, that matzah has to be able to be eaten, and the matzah that you're eating has to be a matzah that's allowed to be eaten in the state of aninos. Ma'aseh sheni is something you can't eat aninos. L'chalti v'eni mena with an aleph. So there's a kosov, very fascinating, drasha B'yosi and Lili, that matzah shem ma'aseh sheni is not acceptable because anything that can't be in aninos is not good for matzah. And Rabbi Kiva says, lo shemana dov zamin. I've never heard of such a drasha. There is no such drasha. So comes the Gemara and has the following shaila on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. It's the third of the wide lines, middle line. By Rambam Chama, Ma'al Shi'etz Yadim DeChavasa B'Moro Shel Ma'aseh Sheni B'Yerushalayim. What about Moro of Ma'aseh Sheni? I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Lo Tibot Lach. According to Rabbi Akiva, for sure it's good. Hashem Bebata Derais Enofik B'Moro Derabanu Mevaya. So if you could be yaitzi with matzah Deraisa, that's the question. What's the Deraisa here? Is Deraisa mean that the mitzvah of matzah is Deraisa? Does the deraisa mean that the chi of tevel and ma'aseh sheni and dogon is deraisa? So Rashi got two opinions about that. But nothing. So Rabbi Akiva holds that matzah is good. More for sure is good. We happen not even possibly Rabbi Yisrael, but within the world of Rabbi Yisrael, the Gemara is not sure that should we compare more to matzah or not. And finally, the Gemara concludes right before the Mishnah, Rav Mistava matzah more. So Rav concludes yes. Whatever psulim carry over from matzah carry over to more as well. That's the hekesh of matzah more yichlu. Says the Shach Zayah, what do you see from this Gemara? That any and every gzeres akosov that disqualifies matzah, for whatever reason, even though that reason has zero relevance to maror, sorry, you're stuck with the hekish, a matzah b'rom yechlu. If it's possible for matzah, then it's possible for maror. Just as according to B'yosi Aglili, matzah shemayis hasheni is possible for matzah. Why? Because lechem oni, even though there's no din of maror oni, doesn't matter. Kach nem ralochem, hekish, matzah marks. Says the Sheikh Gizari, therefore, according to the Rosh who holds that there's a din of matzaschem, there's a din of lachem by matzah derived from chal. It's a din prot in matzah. It doesn't say marorchem anywhere. It doesn't say in the Chumash that mor has to be lachem. But what can you do, Sheikh Gizari? Throw your hands up. If the din is true by matzah, then the din is true by extension by mor. It's inconceivable, impossible to split between matzah and mor. That's this Gizari, that's this Gemara. So even though this inside of Chazal, this Chiddush of Rava, Mestavra Matzah Mor, the Hekesh between the two, was said within Rabbi Yisrael, and Rabbi Yisrael, we take a happen to reject. We hold that it can even be Yitzim Matzah Matzah Sheni. It doesn't matter. We can extrapolate, we can extract from what the Gemara is saying, Vidas of Yisrael, to something that's relevant for us also. So we are also subject to this Hekesh, and therefore anything that's possible for Matzah will automatically spill over tomorrow. So therefore, Matzaschem, sorry, Marorchem also has to be true. That's according to the Rosh. But according to the Rabbah, there is no din of matzah. There was, there is no such halach. Why is it that you can't be yetzeh with matzah, stolen matzah? Because the mitzvah of Avera. That's not a psulin matzah. That's not a matzah digidin. That's not a protius digidin. That's a din kol kol terakula. So now you have to ask yourself the following question. Should that concern, the mitzvah of Avera, govern Morah as well? At first glance, why not? Why shouldn't it? So at second glance, let's not forget Mora Bizman is only the Rabbanim. There's no mitzvah deraisa Mora today. Mora is only Bizman HaMikdash record Beisah. So going back to the beginning of the third bank of Sukkah, there was a big machlekes in the Gemara about is there a palm of mitzvah babi aveh by mitzvah Rabbanim? Remember way back, can you be yaitzeh with a luv of gozo on the third day chalamoy? So shaking the luv on the first day is deraisa, for sure it's subject to mitzvah babi aveh. After the first day, it's all about the rabbanon. The kodesh b'yechim and zakai is a mitzvah. The rabbanon subject to mitzvah b'aveira unclear. Machlekes amarayim comes to Shekisai and says, "Holds man that the deficiency of matzah gazula is a matzah dekadin. So that we have no choice but to invoke this hekesh of matzah marks, and therefore the psul of matzah carries over. But if there is no psul of matzah, it's just a general mitzvah-oriented observance." Principle called mitzvah babi aveira. So mitzvah babi aveira is that a matzah dikadin? It's a kolter kul dikadin. So when it applies, it applies. When it doesn't apply, it doesn't apply. Does it apply to their ices? Yes. Does it apply to their abundance? Not clear. So says the Sheikh Asai, it's possible that the question whether mor ha'gozel is possible depends on the machlokes around in the Rosh, but not what we said. We thought that If it's based on mitzvah b'avera, then for sure it applies. If it's based on a din prati and matzah, it doesn't spill over to bar. The exact menafich. If it's a din prati and matzah, all a dinim prati and matzah carry over bar. That's Rav's hekish. Whereas if it's a din klali, so then you have to be done on each mitzvah whether it's subject to that din klali or not. So by saying all the dust settles, so we have our Gemara back in Sukkot of Lamed Hey, where the Gemara seems to tell us as a din of lachem by a matzah. The Gemara said originally within Rabbi Meir's sheet of Ma'aseh Sheni Mam Gavoa, you can't be yet to Ma'aseh Sheni, because it's not called Lachem. We had the Rosh who extended that to a matzah Gzula. We had the Shagas Ayis Kasha. How can he extend it to Matzah Gzula, but I'm to Isa Gzula? We had the Nesivus Teretz, that Isa Gzula is Chayav Mitam the Nigzon, not Mitam the Gazlan. That opened up the whole, most of our discussions today, Shir, about can a Dovra Gozo still be called Lachem? So we highlighted Machlekes of Tais and Nesivus, and we said it depends on Machlekes Tais and Rashba, and we thought it depends on how you read the Gemara in Babakam the Samachtes, what the nature of the Meshuso is the Chesaron of Lachem or not. Then the last Akut of the Sugya is the Shagas Aryeh is highlighting the Machlekes the Ram and the Rash, why Matzah Gzula is no good, with the potential Nafkamina in the opposite direction vis-a-vis Mara Gozo. So I would say we can make a siyum lagamre on the dinim of lachem by matzah. We can make a siyum, hope that Shem, on this sugya of lachem by matzah. But we have a whole other follow-up sugya, hope that Shem, beginning next week, which is also matzah sugyas, as we inch closer, very, very slowly, inch closer to Pesach. So we're going to go back to some matzah sugyas, and we're going to go back to some lachem parts, and we're going to go back to some dalaminim parts, and once again, try to develop and try to analyze the parameters of what is lachem, not lachem, in terms of matzah, in terms of dalaminim, and open up our eyes to some other dimensions of this seeming to be never-ending saga in terms of properly defined lachem. Hopefully, that's Hashem. Next week, we'll continue from this. Okay, everyone, a good night.